request that I'd like you to consider a resolution concerning the establishment of an ex officio treasurer. This is a state statute that requires us to appoint an ex officio treasurer. It does require a public bond, and we have determined in-house, based on the risk that the university is exposed to, that the dollar amount of the bond should be $250,000. We do have an individual that we'd like to bring forth for a recommendation to fulfill this responsibility. His name is Raul Garcia. He is the university's executive director and controller. He also is bonded under other responsibilities that he serves the institution. Are there any questions concerning this resolution?
May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Hatch?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Williams?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
Yes. Mr. Pinkleton? Thank you very much. If you don't have anything else to report to us.
I do not. Thank you, Trustee.
We'll release you.
This concludes my report.
Mr. Chairman, if I may go off agenda for one moment, I'd like to ask whether pharmacy would like to present information to us on their fundraising efforts. Thank you, Doctor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
For the record, Dr. Miriam Mobley Smith, Dean of the College of Pharmacy. I know that the board is always very interested in the development and advancement activities of all of the deans. At the College of Pharmacy, it gives me pleasure to share some of the activities more recently. And so generally, the spring is a very busy time for me as I go out and talk to a number of CEOs, CFOs, and senior vice presidents for a number of companies. So I wanted to share a part of a list of companies that I have engaged in discussions recently. So starting out with the Cardinal Health company, and Cardinal Health, if you recall, is one that has provided six-figure support for the college in terms of student scholarships focused on students who are interested in independent pharmacy ownership. And so we have all types of programs around that. But I met with the new CEO, and as a result of that meeting, also asked for a renewal of that grant within another couple of years. And he seemed very favorable towards that. Of course, they're not going to say, okay, I'm going to give you, you know, $250,000. But anyway, he said, we have a long-term commitment to the college, which is a wonderful thing. But immediately following that, he engaged a film crew to come to Chicago State. They will be here all day on Monday, and they will be filming the college. I'll be interviewed, faculty will be interviewed, the four student scholarship recipients will be interviewed. They're taking B-roll of the college as well as the university, and they will be using that as a marketing for their commitment to the university and the college, as well as showing independent pharmacy owners at their national meeting in July just what we're all about. So we're very, very happy about that. I met with the one of the senior vice presidents from Walmart. We have an ongoing program there with the Pullman, the facility there in Pullman that's just, what, 10 minutes of walk away, basically. And so we're about to engage on placing a faculty member there, as well as the establishment of a community-based postgraduate one pharmacy residency. And so we're engaged with discussions with their foundation as well, and so that is going very well. The other companies that I met with, Nestle International, McLane Corporation, SureScripts, IMS Health, Pfizer Consumer Health, Kirby Lester, and MedVantage. So things are going very well. You didn't hear me say some of the companies that we've already engaged in, because those are ongoing discussions. And so these are companies, though, that I wanted to bring forth so you know we're all active. And it's not just me. Certainly, I do have an executive director of development that I work very closely with. But as you know, development and advancement activities are not just focused on the administrators going out there talking to folk. It's something that has to be embedded within the college itself. Everyone is challenged, and we ask them, what's the 30-second elevator message? Because at any point, they may be somewhere, on an airplane, at a meeting, at a bus stop, in the store, someone comes up and says, "Oh, what do you do?" "Well, I work at Chicago State University College of Pharmacy." "Tell me more." And we wanted everybody to have, as best as possible, a consistent message. Understand that everybody's not comfortable with these type of activities, but that's okay. We keep moving towards that. And as a part of our upcoming retreat in August, we're renewing our commitment that everybody should be able to walk the walk, speak the speak, and talk the talk, because we're all engaged in development and advancement. Thank you.
Well, I'd really like to thank you, because clearly you are very busy. And you're absolutely right when you say not everyone is comfortable in development or asking for funding. And yet, I can think of fewer programs that are more important in today's world than pharmacy. When I served as the director of the Illinois Department of Professional Regulation,
I remember
my phone jumped off the hook all the time looking for pharmacists. Where are the pharmacists? When are you going to license the pharmacists? I thank you so much, and I just want to extend to you the invitation to please enlist the help from board members.
Thank you.
From our president, from our provost, at any time that you think you need any help from us.
I appreciate that. I mean, we're really pleased, not only certainly to look at how we raise funds for the college, but understand that it's not the college, it's the university. So every time we go out and we talk to individuals about who we are, we're talking about who we are at Chicago State.
Well, you're certainly a shining star for Chicago State, and it brings quite a lot of good attention to the university. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity to do so. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we have nothing further.
Then we'll move along to the facilities update. Trustee Smith.
Ms. Tracy, there he is. Over there is coming to report for the facilities.
Good morning, trustee members.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to take my moments to update you all on the electrical switchgear project. Over the last couple of months, we have gone into several buildings successfully changing out the MCC panels and electrical switchgear, which we also call the substations. We have gone through Harold Washington, the Education Building, BHS, just recently Cook Administration, which we're trying to get back online right now, and JDC. Remaining, we have Williams Science and Douglas Hall. After that, phase two will start in the summer, and that will be the main line cabling, which will take place in the tunnel. Those interruptions will be minimal, and they will be in the after hours. And so that is pretty much the latest.
Any questions from the
trustees? Any questions?
When do you expect the Cook Administration Building to reopen?
To be back up?
Yeah.
That will be today.
Today?
Yes. Yes, we're actually in the process of doing that now.
Okay, that's good.
Okay. No questions. Thank you.
That concludes our report.
Legislative and Human Resources.
Trustee Lee.
Hello again, trustees.
Hello.
At the last board meeting, the chairman requested that we bring our federal lobbyists to present. So I would like to introduce them and let them speak first, and then I'll give you a quick rundown about what's going on in Springfield. So we have Mr. Richard Boykin and Nicole Janes as our federal lobbyists.
Mr. Chairman, distinguished members of the board, Mr. President, faculty, staff, citizens of Chicago State, concerned family members. I'm honored to be here today on behalf of Barnes and Thornburg to make this report. We've done a myriad of things since we've last been before you. Nicole Janes and I will do a tag team report I think one of the biggest things that we've done is that we focused on federal grants and making sure that we bring more federal grants to the university. We think that that is a area where we can bring additional revenue, research dollars to the university and really put us on the map in a big way. And so in March, I had the privilege of accompanying Dean Canis and Dean Jones to Washington, where Senator Mark Kirk was kind enough to let us use his office all day. And he arranged a series of meetings with various agency heads. And I hope that Dean Canis will get an opportunity to provide some feedback to you all in terms of his meeting and the experience that we had there. And so we met with the folks from the National Science Foundation, the National Endowment for Humanities, the National Endowment for the Arts, Department of Defense, National Institute of Health, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Department of Commerce. In addition to those meetings, we also had an opportunity to meet with our congressional delegation. Bless you, Mr. President. We had an opportunity to meet with our congressional delegation, Congressman Bobby Rush and Congresswoman Robin Kelly, as well as Congressman Danny Davis. And so the delegation is fully supportive of the institution, the university, of our goals, and they're fully behind our desire to get more federal dollars into the university. In addition, we've also had conversations ongoing with Congressman Rush's office relative to his project, relative to the Department of Energy, in collaboration with the university. And so we continue to have those conversations and that dialogue, and right now we're following up to make sure that we get applications in for these grants and make sure that our faculty understands what the opportunities are. I'll yield now to my distinguished colleague, Attorney Nicole James.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Morning. Morning.
We're thrilled to be here again this morning. In addition to the meetings we schedule in DC, there's also an ongoing monitoring that we do for the university. And of course, what we do is we monitor any sort of legislation at the federal level that would impact Chicago State or higher education. More importantly, I think, as we know, we have continued to monitor any developments with student loans, specifically the Parent PLUS loans and changes that have been proposed to those, in addition to the Pell Grant. So we do that. We do monitor that regularly to provide you guys with as much notice of changes that could possibly be coming along, and have also encouraged then engagement to make sure that the university students are protected and that their interests are always aware, are made aware to their congressional representation. We're happy to answer any questions.
So if there are no questions, then I'll just give you a quick rundown about Springfield. It's quite boring down there. Not exactly. They are trying to figure out what they're going to do on the budget, and they don't know yet. And so to say it's stressful is an understatement. We get questions about where the budget is going to land. I think I get questions about it almost every day. And it's, I don't know. And so we don't have a bill yet. I just spoke to staff yesterday and trying to get some inside scoop about what's going on, and they don't know either. The governor has put together these working groups of, from each chamber to work on it. It doesn't sound like that has led to much success. We are approaching May 31st, which is the end of session, and generally speaking, the legislature passes the budget on May 31st. But I'm not quite sure that is going to happen this semester, or this year. And so that has some political implications, and it also has some financial implications for the university. And so miracles happen. It is possible that they can agree on a budget. But the 31.5% cut that was proposed by the governor is completely unsustainable. That is $12 million less in our appropriation than we would have received last year. So I think they know that. And because when we appear before the legislature, the question that we get all the time is, why are Illinois students going to other schools in other states? And so that question is about affordability. But if you cut universities 31.5%, then you're not, you're saying that you're not really investing. You want Illinois students to go to Illinois public institutions. So we are optimistic, but I also have to be realistic. And being realistic means that I do think we will see a double-digit cut. Whether or not it'll be 30.5%, I don't think so. Will it be 15, 18? It's possible. And the reason why it's possible is because the state is in serious financial straits. And coupled with, we are still waiting for the Supreme Court to decide what they're gonna do on pensions. Now, I think most people believe they're gonna overturn it, which means it comes back to the legislature, which is another, I think, $80 billion problem. So these decisions are very hard, and they're not going to, the solutions aren't gonna be easy. I don't know if I haven't seen any conversations about the income tax. I think the governor said he doesn't support that. There has been talk about taxing services to raise revenue for a capital bill. But I think it's hard for legislators to talk about a capital bill when cuts to child care are occurring, cuts to education and human services and Medicaid are occurring. So it's a tough time down in Springfield. But really quick, I want to talk about three policy issues that are impacting public universities. Generally, we really focus on the budget, and we really have, every session there's maybe one or two policy items, but this year we're kind of bombarded with big policy issues, and that includes procurement reform. And so procurement is a really big deal because there's a significant process to purchase anything within the state, and they are various layers, and the layers take time and time cost money. And so the universities don't really have much autonomy when it comes to purchasing. So the legislature has asked us to say, okay, what are the issues? Can we make this easier for you? And what are your recommendations? So that's one potential policy matter that's going through, and it's being led by the Senate Democrats. The next issue is about AP credits. This bill started with a Representative Carol Senti, a House Democrat, who wants to set the minimum standards for university accepting AP credits as a 3. Many of the public universities are opposed because they want the autonomy to say, if I'm in the College of Arts and Science and I have an engineering program, I don't want to take a 3. I want to take a 4 or 5 or set whatever standards I deem appropriate. So that has been a bit of a fight, back and forth. It did pass the House overwhelmingly, because you can see the other side. What that means is students who have a 3 can exempt out of classes because they have these AP credits, which means ultimately less money for these families for paying students to go to college, right? A 3 is a C. And so we have been a part of the conversation, but the underlying issue with it is the autonomy. Do you really want to give the legislature, allow the legislature to take control of establishing what your AP standard should be? So I think that will continue to be a fight in the Senate, but you can see from a legislative perspective how the legislators feel. They understand our perspective, but they understand the families saying, if our students are getting 3s on these APs, they should receive the credit. So we're working that through. And then the last one is articulation. This has been an issue going on for quite some time. It's being led by Senator Dan Katowski about establishing, this is very similar to what we did this morning with Marine Valley, but what we would do is establish that by statute. So basically, students who go to community colleges and obtain 60 credits are automatically have junior status at whatever public institution they choose to go to. And so I don't necessarily see the impact for CSU as much, because obviously 70% of our students are transfer students. And initially the legislation was specific to programs. So we would have opposition to it if it's just open-ended, because we can't necessarily just accept all programs that way. But again, it's an issue of autonomy from the universities and being able to set the standards that they want. So this articulation has been negotiated. There's been several meetings with the public universities, the Senate Kutowski, and the Democratic staff. But we're waiting for the final draft, right? We talked about what it would look like, but oftentimes, and they will tell you, that when you have these meetings and you talk about what it's going to look like, when you see it on paper, it's a little different. So I'm waiting for the paper, because then I can see whether or not what the actual impact, if any, will be to CSU. So we have the concepts, but sometimes translating it into legislative language changes the intent. So we're waiting on that, but those are three things that are very important for public higher ed. And then, of course, our we're keeping an eye on that $1.6 million. We have to make sure that it is in the appropriations, because we use those dollars for scholarships. I mean, that is so important. We're still working on the $307 grant for the College of Pharmacy. That one's real tough. And the reason why that's tough is because that's funded from pharmacist licensing fees. That fund has been swept by the state to go wherever. So that money isn't there to give CSU, U of I, SIU the grant. And so now they're trying to figure out where else in GRF, the General Revenue Fund, can we now fund it? So it's been zeroed out for the FY16 proposed budget, but the implication means we have a program on this campus that potentially would receive no state support. So that is a problem. So that's on our list of priorities that we're looking at. And if by chance they come up with a funding source for capital, we have our capital request ready to move forward. But this is just, it's a very interesting session. Generally, there's a level of predictability, and there's no level of predictability this session. So we really have to keep our feet to the ground and our eyes and ears everywhere to make sure that we are protected. I know it's a little longer than I anticipated, but there is a lot going on in Springfield, sorry. Okay. Tom
and Farah, who is watching out for us in Springfield? Is that Senator DeLeo?
Okay, yes. Yeah, so we have a lobbying team that consists of three individuals. Liz Brown, and I believe you met Liz a couple of meetings ago. Her whole career has been legislative affairs. She worked on the House Democratic staff. And then former Senator James DeLeo. And then we have Taylor Anderson, who has worked down in Springfield for quite a while. So the three of them, Liz, obviously, she lives in Springfield, so she's there nonstop. DeLeo is there, and then Taylor is there. And so they are definitely our eyes and ears.
And they're updating us how often?
Oh, daily. I mean, I talk to them constantly. Oh, yeah. It's a team effort. And so, because we have to be on the same page, and I have to arm them with the information so that they know what our position is. So we talk constantly. That's just kind of how it works, so that they can. What I don't like is having situations where you have a middleman, and so that's why we talk constantly, so that when staff ask them a question, they should be able to answer it on the spot and not say, oh, let me call CSU or let me call FAIR and get back to you. That's kind of my preferred style of lobbying.
Are they talking to leadership?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But the key is staff, right? And so, like when in the past, when we've worked on our appropriations, we really focus on lobbying and getting the information that we need from staff. And so that's to staff. That's really important. Timely submissions of our information is key, because they're always on a timeline. So yes, we talk to legislators, but the staff, when we arm the staff with information, they are kind of our advocate in terms of getting what we need. And we use them, and we've been successful using that strategy.
Cool. Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask, are they good at telling our story, number one? And, you know, some of us have talked about the need for us to distinguish ourselves as just a regular state university, in the sense that we really serve under-resourced families. And so to do an across-the-board cut, it doesn't affect everybody the same way. And that story, being made readily available to the folks in Springfield. And have we identified anybody in the governor's administration to help carry our water as well. I mean, we really need the Chicago State story
right.
to stand apart when right. it comes to higher education in state.
That's absolutely right. So generally speaking, the public universities try to be in one accord as much as possible. But I have to be very frank with you. When it comes to the budget, that is just so unrealistic. It's so unrealistic. We can't. And so part of the strategy is, particularly when you're dealing with these working groups, is reaching out to our champions. And a lot of our champions are members of the Black Caucus that are very key, because how it works is you need to keep CSU on their head, So that when they're in these meetings, they say, okay, well, what's going to happen with CSU if you do this? So we have to, particularly for this budget cycle, make that case. They are armed with the information. I brief them personally. I send them information. I feel very confident that they know our story and they can articulate it. Liz and DeLeo have worked with us in the past. So they've been with us, I think, for the last 2 years. So they're very familiar about CSU. And they were very influential in us receiving that $1.6 million in the scholarship dollars and also the $6.5 million for the switchgear. So they, I'm very confident that they know our story and can tell it in a very persuasive and effective manner.
Have they identified anybody in the governor's administration that really can have that same kind of passion on the other side?
Yeah, that one is a tough one. We met with Beth Purvis, who is the Secretary of Education. Dr. Watson, the Provost, Tom and I met with her on April 20th. And I think she gets it, but she also understands the reality. And the reality is the state is broke. And so I think she understands, she comes from a charter school background, so she drew some analogies to the populations being similar. But I think we probably have to try to find someone, but if I can kind of go from a political angle a little bit, is that we have Democratic majorities in both the House and the Senate, and they have to pass a budget. And they have veto override. And so I think it has to be a parallel strategy in that we do identify somebody in the governor's office, but we've got to continue to sustain the relationships with our champions and the Democratic leadership in both the chambers, because ultimately they're the ones who are going to vote on the budget. So it is probably more a holistic strategy instead of a focused kind of strategy that we've done in the past when you've had all Democratic leadership.
Who are our current legislative champions?
I would say our current legislative champions are Senator Trotter, Representative Sims, Representative Marcus Evans. And some of these are obviously legislators that have personal relationships with me, personal relationships with Dr. Watson, that we can kind of bring them all together. So for example, Senator Mandy Hunter has been a big champion. Senator Kwame Raoul has been a champion. I've worked with Dr. Watson to bring on Representative Jahan Gordon, who is a representative of Peoria, who you normally wouldn't think would be our champion since she's not from the Chicago area, but she sits on a Higher Education Appropriations Committee. And so she understands, and there are parallels from our community and her community. So she's been a champion. Will Davis, Representative Will Davis, Representative Thaddeus Jones is a huge supporter of the College of Pharmacy. He helped. He was very influential in getting the $307,000 grant reinstated last year. Kim Lyford, absolutely. Yes. Senator Kim Lyford. Mm-hmm. And we work with her, obviously, on the West Campus. And she's always taken a leadership role in education, but she's taking also a leadership role in higher education. So that relationship has been very, very, very helpful.
Monique Davis.
She's been very influential with our daycare center.
And if you go to the other side of the aisle, very interesting person who's been our champion and has stood up for us in very difficult situations, Chapin Rose. Chapin Rose, a Republican. Pritchard has stood up for us a number of times. He has stood up for us. He's a Republican. Cynthia Soto. She's co-chair of Higher Education Appropriations.
Yes.
So we have a number of champions, and we're always growing them. And we also reach out through your network. Each one of you have, and I want to thank you because I have reached out to individuals sitting up here and said, can you call state rep? Can you call senator? And let me say, the result has been extremely positive. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you. So it's not just who I know, who Farrah knows, and who Tom knows. Tom Wogan, as you know, has, Tom is running double duty now. He's doing the PR, and he's also doing the Springfield. Tom, can you give us an update?
Hello. Tom Wogan, Director of Public Relations for the University. As Dr. Watson stated, and as you know, Farrah touched on a lot of things here, so just a couple brief caveats and just sort of to reintroduce myself to the board. As you, you know, obviously can tell, Farrah has more than a little on her plate these days. So just in an effort to try to help the university as much as I can, trying to use some of my previous experience in the legislative process to help the university. And so to that end, I've taken a couple trips down to Springfield and probably will continue to take a couple more leading up to May 31st deadline. So just real as a brief caveat, prior to coming to Chicago State as the public relations director, I spent about 10 years working for a legislative staff, and I staffed higher education for the House of Representatives for about six of those years. So trying to draw on some of those relationships and some of that experience to benefit the university is what my goal is down there. I've been through several budget processes over the years. This is by far the most unique, both for the partisan dynamics and the fact that we've dealt with cuts before, but never to this degree, and never to this. And it's a very stressful situation, as Farrah said. So a couple brief things I wanted to say. I will be down there. It's important to have our contract lobbyists are excellent, and they're a great service to the university. It is still always important to have an in-house face down there, yes. that is only strictly concerned about Chicago State University and coordinating with those contract lobbyists to make sure that as we go through this very fluid process that we are forefront on the minds of our legislative champions and that we are not forgotten by those who might have other priorities. One quick thing that was this week started to see a little bit of this chess game begin between the legislature and the governor, and that was done not in higher education but in the form of human services. And to that end, the House, without a lot of notification beforehand, began moving a series of amendments. One of them was strictly Governor Rauner's budget with all of the cuts and all of all the blood and gore. That amendment obviously failed. Then a series of amendments did move that had a human service budget that more reflected what the Democratic legislature would want to see. I say that only to say that there may be similar maneuvers done in relation to higher education in the next week to 2 weeks. So you may see a higher education budget advancing in the House or another one being defeated. There's games within the game here. Don't automatically assume that if you see that means that's final. There really isn't anything final until it's final, and we'll have a pretty good understanding of as that process moves. We'll have a pretty good understanding of what the finish line actually looks like. I don't know many people in Springfield with knowledge of the process who think that this is going to be done on May 31st. There's a large. So many things would have to happen and so many sides would have to blink, so to speak, that and the dynamics between the legislative leaders and the governor are still very much undefined because this is the first time they're all going through this process. So also to that end, and Reverend Hatch, to your point, we are constantly looking for ways to reinforce our message about the unique nature of Chicago State University, how the cuts would affect us. If I will be down there face to face having more conversations with these legislatures in the weeks to come, if any of the board members have a desire to be involved in that in any way, shape, or form, or just to simply have me carrying a message to an individual or group of individuals, I think most of you have my contact information. If you don't, I will make sure that you do have it. Just know that I am going to be monitoring this as closely as possible directly there on the third floor of the Capitol, and want to definitely know your thoughts and opinions as we move forward. It's going to be a fluid situation. It's probably going to be dramatic. There's probably going to be a lot of fireworks before we're all said and done here. Should should be interesting, Chairman Young, and you've been through this before, so, it should be rather interesting. Hopefully, the end result is one that is at least, you know, less, you know, obviously less than 31%, and a cut we can manage. I think everyone assumes that the cuts are coming based on the based on just the budget scenario. Even Governor Rauner's budget would, you know, does not match up to the numbers don't add up right now. So there's way more questions than answers right now. But best we can do is monitor, stay attentive, be vigilant about delivering our message, and that's what we intend to do.
Should higher education right now is at a crossroads of a crisis within the state of Illinois, without a doubt. And it needs to be clearly stated. That is why we have made the decision. Not only have we hired some excellent lobbyists, but lobbyists have different clients. They have multiple clients. So while they're working one client over here, our business may not be taken care of. But they have different clients, and we have excellent lobbyists. So what we made the decision to do is have someone down there who's 24/7 looking out for Chicago State, and who 24/7 can reach out to DeLeo, who can reach out to Liz and say, hey, listen, something happened, we need you over here now. So between Tom and Farrah, that's what we've been doing. Going forward, Tom is going to become much more involved. For the last 2 weeks, he's been down there 4 out of 5 days. He's going to probably down there 5 out of 5 days for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks going forward. It is not, which is, the deals are not made between 9 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock. The deals are made between 5 o'clock in the evening and 9 o'clock in the morning. did I?
Absolutely.
You know that better than I do, sir. I mean, did I inappropriately define?
Yes.
So that's why we have boots on the ground 24/7.
Mr. Chairman, can I just make this recommendation? Because I think Trustee Hatch made a good point about the governor's office. President Watson has an excellent relationship with Senator Mark Kirk. Senator Kirk and Governor Rauner are good friends. Mm-hmm. In fact, Governor Rauner's chief of staff used to be Senator Kirk's deputy chief of staff, Mike Z. And so maybe, Dr. Watson, if you reach out to Senator Kirk and have him make a phone call, you can get CSU on the priority list. Just an idea.
I will make that phone call again. Again, because to Senator Mark Kirk's credit, he is a friend of Chicago State. That call was made before we went for
our appropriations hearing,
the Higher Education Approve Committee. And we met with his chief of staff, who's now Rauner's. So we will continue to make that call. And Mark Kirk delivered for us. Mark Kirk has delivered for Chicago State University. I want to be on the record for that.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
We're ready for our student trustee report.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. It comes with great pleasure for me to salute Mrs. Gwen Rowan. I don't know if she's in the room or she left. The Ability Day was a great day. Their mantra was, we are more than what you see. And it was great interaction with the adaptive basketball game, programs and exhibits, and a guest speaker, Patrick Mayer, Director of Civic Engagement, SPR Consulting, along with promoting abilities awareness through role play and community engagement, in which I had an opportunity to interact with the abilities cohort of scholars, an excellent program. Also to Charles Goodrum and the Veterans Affairs Committee and the Veteran Affairs Officer, with Major General Ronald L. Johnson from Georgia Institute of Technology, speaking to the students on April the 29th, 10 a.m. until noon here in the auditorium. Embracing the theme, Mission Critical, Veterans Embracing Change. This not only inspired the veterans who were in attendance, but also students. Major General Johnson discussed the exploration of careers in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And employers were on site with STEM job opportunities, and veterans in STEM careers made themselves available to network with the students, and the community contingency was quite grateful for this event. And we have Roxanne, who's here, Roxanne Whitehead, who's here, who's a community involvement person here on campus, and she was involved in that, in recruiting a lot of the students to attend that event. Also, to Dr. Deborah Lynch and the Future Teachers of America, doing a great job inspiring many of our students who are non-education majors to desire to teach in the major that they're in. And to Dr. Omar Hedden and the Honors College and the alumni who desire to mentor our freshmen and sophomore, juniors and seniors in undergrad. What a great, great job they're doing. And to Darren Martin, who's here, the newly elected IBHE rep, who works very, very hard in Springfield as well as a student. IBHE SAC, he'll join forces with the ad hoc committees to continue to lobby for the state universities within the state of Illinois. And that concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, and congratulations. At this time, I would entertain a motion to convene an executive session.
Civil service.
Okay. I apologize to the civil service. I didn't see it on my agenda. Someone from civil service going? Here you come.
Bobby Stewart.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's going to be brief. Our EAC representative is going to pass out some literature that we have been working on. I wanted to first say that December 2014, the civil service employees did a taste of civil service. And the civil service committee members purchased the turkeys and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And so we left 2014 on a very positive note. And I thank the civil service employees and the council for the dedication for the civil service employees. But in 2015, we all know that this has been truly a year of, I want to say, cuts, layoffs, difficulties for this university. But through all the disappointment, the employees that affected by the layoff seemed shocked, but they're at peace. We've talked to them. We've tried to help them find other jobs. Some of them have came back. Dr. Mitchell, and she met with me and my vice president and to review their payoff so that we can kind of figure out where they stand financially to try, not to pay their bills, but to make sure that everybody has bills to pay. So we did that. We also, as a civil service council, we offered a parking refund so that it's like $30 left in a year to give it back to them so that they can do something with it. But for once, the low morale on campus is not because of Dr. Watson or Dr. Mitchell, but it's the governor of our state. So we've done some innovative things to boost morale on campus, working with different committees. The HR and the president's office make sure that there is civil service representation on every committee that is on campus, which is great because we have our viewpoints. I'm rushing. Civil service partnered with human resources. We did SERVs to kick off the month of May so that people that can retire can retire. Our goal is to help the civil service employees but also help Chicago State cut costs as well. We had a vendor day May 4th and May 5th, and that's going to raise money for, we're going to have a taste of CSU in the summer. On May 5th, we held a civil service listening session with questionnaire box for a secret ballot on what they think the new president should be from the Presidential Search Committee. We've asked the civil service employees, I know you all know this, but we've had, well, not me, but we've had employees that have master degrees, have been in the same position for 30 years. We're asking them to do job audits. If you're working on your second master's, I think you should adventure out and do something else, because it would be more beneficial to Chicago State. What else do I have? We will continue to represent the civil service employees to the university administration and to advise the administration. We need to bring the trust back to the civil service employees. We need to meet with the union reps to discuss the proposals to share governance. We also were meeting with HR and the president to save money in the summer and have a 4-day work week. I think that's about it. So on behalf of the Civil Service Council and its members, we thank Dr. Watson and the executive committee and the board for taking the opportunity to listen to us. We are concerned, but we're doing the best that we can. Are there any questions?
Bobby, Chairman. I'd like to thank you and your vice president for the leadership and for working with us through this very difficult situation. Just thank you. I mean, you know, the leadership and dialogue was very valuable to us. It was a learning situation on both sides.
You're welcome.
Chairman, just very quickly, as we were talking in our government affairs report, the Illinois Supreme Court just struck down the pension law. So that's going to be very interesting now.
At this time, we'll entertain the motion to reconvene in executive session.
So moved.
Second. Trustee Kirby?
Yes.
Trustee Hatch?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Lee?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Williams?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Lawler?
Executive session. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry. Who was not? Who was not?